God gave them up. God turned them over. Hebrews 1:24. Therefore God also gave them up. Whatever he gave them up to here doesn't have any specific meaning in what I'm preaching tonight. He can give you up to anything. This particular case, he gave them up to foul demons of lust. Never dawned on you he could give you up and turn you over to something else besides a demon of sex. But that certainly today has taken its toll. But the 28th verse, God gave them over. In other words, God gives some people up, but when he gives them up, he turns them over. And if God ever gives you up, like he did Saul, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. This is the Spirit of God lifting and withdrawing. This is God withdrawing and taking away from you the most precious thing that God ever gave to a man. The Spirit of the Lord. To convict men of sin and to draw them and pull them to God. Because even Jesus himself said, no man can come to me except the Spirit which sent me. Draw him. When that drawing, compelling force that brings you and draws you to God is gone, you're gonna. But worse than that, when God lifts it and withdraws it and then sins or permits to come or gives permission or turns you over to some kind of a foul demon force, you're going to die like a fool. You can't die any other way. You have no other choice. Now, I've often said, it's bad enough when God leaves us, withdraws his Spirit. There's only one thing worse. When the Spirit of the Lord lifts, and then God just turns you over to a perversion of some kind. Turns you over to a lying demon. Turns you over to an insane demon, and you lose your mind and become a wild, raving maniac, as did Nebuchadnezzar. 7 long years he crawled on his hands and upon his knees, raved like a wild jackass, and ate grass with the beasts of the field. Why? Read it for yourself in the book of Daniel. God himself said, they, meaning demon spirits, shall drive thee, a king, from the presence of men. They shall drive thee from men, and thy, a king's dwelling, shall be with the beasts of the field until you're willing to confess that God is all in all. In this particular case, God gave him another chance, because when it all wound up, he said, my mind returned to me. My brightness returned to me. He said, folks, I was crazy for 7 years, but my mind came back. In this case, God hadn't withdrawn his Spirit, but God beat him down and whipped him in a corner, turned him over to insane demons till he was willing to get on his knees and say, oh, God, thou art all in all and all and all and all. And pride was the cause of his loss of 7 years of the best years of his life. Belshazzar could have learned from his mistake, because Daniel pointing to him after the handwriting on the wall and said, thou knewest all this, but thou hast raised thyself up against God. I want you to listen to this. I preached along this line last Monday. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, but God used a miracle ministry to deliver him. You find it in 1 Samuel 16. And God wrought a mighty deliverance from that man, because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Lord troubled him, but God delivered him in the 23rd verse. as an anointed man of God prayed skillfully with his hands. And the Bible says, and I quote 23rd verse, it came to pass that when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp, prayed with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from Saul. But immediately, and I want to make this short because this isn't the main part of my sermon tonight. Immediately, Saul got jealous. He got jealous of David because the women came back from the battlefield beating their tambourines and singing and dancing. And they said, Saul have slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And from that moment, the Bible said, Saul began to eye David and was afraid of him, and Saul said, what more could he take from me but my kingdom? And he picked up a javelin. Jealousy, fear, hatred, murder. And from that moment on, he was on the road to no return. Because the Bible said in the 18th verse, look at this, the 10th verse, David prayed with his hand as at other times, but there was a javelin in Saul's hand. What's this? Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. He's demon-possessed again. The man that had brought a great deliverance to this man's mind and body and soul and spirit, now the same method won't work. Why? God gave him up. And God turned him over again to what? A troubling demon spirit. And that man died with that demon spirit because he committed suicide by falling on his own sword. Read two chapters over, and the Bible says again, and David prayed as before with his hand, but Saul had a javelin in his hand, and Saul threw it at David, and David stepped aside, and it went into the wall. When you've got something in your heart you shouldn't have, rebellion, sin, self-will, stubbornness, hard heart, a stiff neck. Oh, there's hundreds of you under this tent this night in this shape. And some of you say, oh, that man up there in that pulpit can't help me. You are right. God's not going to either. I can't, and God won't. David did it one time, but when he tried again, he couldn't help the man whom he had performed a miracle for in days gone by. Why? Because God wouldn't. And I can't help you if God won't. David couldn't help Saul because God wouldn't. Because deliverance doesn't come from David. Deliverance doesn't come from Alan or a preacher on this platform. They are just instruments that God uses. But there comes a time when God doesn't even use you as an instrument. This is why we pray for some people and they never get healed. Breaks my heart. They roll them in here in the wheelchairs and they roll them out the same way. People are brought in demon-possessed. Some of them are never delivered. Thank God for the ones who are and are still delivered. But there's a reason why Saul could never be delivered. Why he died as a fool dieth. This isn't my pet sermon, but I just feel led to repeat a portion of it. He died as a fool died because he died with a javelin in his hand. And God may have an instrument somewhere to deliver you and even deliver you as he did Saul. But if you don't live right, if you don't walk right, if you don't pray and trust God's promise to keep you as well as to save you and go back, watch out. The last state of that man is worse than the first. When an unclean spirit cometh out of a man, Matthew 12, 42, 3 and 4. He walketh through dry places seeking rest, but he findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to the house from whence I left. And when he returneth, he findeth that generally they don't move in by themselves. Then goeth he, I quote scripture, and he taketh seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they return and enter into that man or that woman. And the last state of that man, oh my God, friends, you had never be better. It is better for you that you never be delivered. It is better for you that you never be saved. And if you're going to get saved or be delivered or set free, and then as Saul, pick up a javelin. Backslide. Fail to live for God and fail to serve God. God may just give you up and turn you over to the elements as he did the people in the antediluvian age. He can give you up and turn you over to foul spirits as he did the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He can give you up and turn you over to the dogs as he did Jezebel. Turn you over to the will of your enemies as he did Ahab. Turn you over to people who hate you and have declared and have sworn they're going to kill you like Belshazzar. Turn you over to an insane demon like he did Nebuchadnezzar. It may be like Samson. Just keep going over to Delilah's house. Just keep going on, buddy. You know you got no business dating that woman. You know you've got no business sneaking out in the car with her after midnight. Some of you girls, you know you've got no business off with that other woman's husband. But you're still dating him. You say, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. I'm going to have that man. Yeah, you may get him. But you may get something you don't want along with that man. You may get that woman that you've got no business even lusting after or looking after. But you can get something 1,000 times worse than what you were getting it. Wish 1,000,000 times you'd never got it. And you can't even turn loose of it after you get hold of it. Coming into a meeting like this won't do you a bit of good if you're another Saul. The Spirit of God never departed from Samson. Not permanently. God had never definitely just turned him over to something he couldn't be loose from because he made a comeback. But he went to sleep one time too many in the lap of Delilah. She clipped him close and shook him and awakened him and said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he awakened from his sleep and he rose and he went out and said, I'll shake myself as before. And he wished not, he didn't even know that God had departed from him. Go ahead, preacher, and shake. That don't mean you've got God. Go ahead and lead your song service. Everybody turn to number 11. We're going to sing Power in the Blood. That doesn't mean a thing. You can lead your song service. You can preach. You can teach. You can be a preacher as before, but that doesn't mean that God's with you. Samson went out and didn't even know that the Lord had departed from him. He was doing it without God. Though he lost the best years of his life, and his enemy almost destroyed him. He punched his eyes out with sharp burning sticks, made a beast of burden out of him, and for years he was a common jackass that pulled the old mill, grinding out corn. But one day, somebody knocked on the door. He heard somebody calling his name. Samson. Samson. But some of you listening to me tonight will never hear your name again. If you do, you better do what Samson did. I don't care what it cost you. You better look up and say, Lord, remember me just this one more time. Because Samson thought nobody remembered him. Everyone had forgotten. No one loved him because he'd been in prison so long. He remembered just like you remember the honey he'd found in the carcass of the lion and how he'd blessed his mama and daddy with it. He remembered how the spirit and the anointing and the power of God had come upon him and he'd picked up the jawbone of an ass and had slain a mountain of the enemy. Climbed to the top of a mountain of human flesh, victorious in God. But he hadn't felt anything like this for years. But when they shoved him out to make fun of him because he's a backslider, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's Samson. That's him. He's the one that could slay 1,000 Philistines. That's him. He's the one that could tear the gates from the city and carry them to yonder's hill. But look at him now. He almost died like a fool died. Because he hadn't crossed the deadline. He hadn't committed spiritual suicide. They swung the gate wide for him, and he come climbing up the old stone steps, blind as a bat, handsome no longer. But when they shoved him out in the arena, he remembered there were a couple of posts. And the kid that led him said, lead me to the giant pillars that hold up the Colosseum. There was the great giant pillar on either side of him. Sightless eyes looked up to heaven. And he said, Lord, do you remember me? And a voice spoke from heaven and said, Samson, I still remember you. I still remember you, son. They looked up and prayed a prayer that got him in trouble. The prayer he prayed brought on his death. But he didn't die like a fool. Because his picture tonight is hanging up there in the great art gallery of faith. Find it in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And what of Samson? His picture is beside the picture of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Sarah, Rahab. I tell you, friend, when I walk down that long, long hall and see the pictures of all of the great faith patriarchs hanging there, I want to pause just a little longer in front of Samson than any of the rest. Because he almost died like a fool. But he didn't. Because he come out of prison. And he said, Lord, remember me just this one more time. Just this one more time. God, remember me. And all of a sudden, the very same spirit and anointing and power he had felt when he picked up the jawbone of an ass began to be poured out upon him like warm oil. And he knew that that was the spirit of God and the power of God and God's anointing and God's presence. Raise your hands and praise him if you can feel it tonight. Praise him if you can feel it. God gave them up. God turned them over. Somewhere they met God. Somewhere they heard the voice of God. Somewhere God spoke. They felt the touch and the draw and the pull and the tug of the Spirit. They said, I'm too young. I leave your nose out of my business, preacher. I'll smoke all I want. I'll drink all the beer I want. I'll get drunk all I want. It's none of your business whether I pay tithes or not. It may not be, but it's my business to preach the gospel. And it's the business of the Holy Ghost to tug and draw and pull you. But it's God's business to cut you off and shut you off and withdraw from you the spirit. If you cross a deadline with rebellion in your soul, and if God ever draws his spirit from you and turns you over to a lying demon like he did Ahab, you're going to die like Ahab. If God ever turns you over to the dogs like he did Jezebel, you're going to die like Jezebel died. If God ever withdraws his spirit and turns you over to the will of your enemies as he did Belshazzar, you're going to die like Belshazzar. And sometimes under some circumstances, God gives some people up. But he turns them over to something. And when God turns you over to the demon of drink, alcohol, narcotics, dope, just plain old cigarettes or snuff. Hundreds of you women got a can of snuff in your purse. Hundreds of you sitting out here tonight, I got a package of cigarettes in your pocket. Or a plug of chewing tobacco. And you say, that's not sin. I've been smoking for years. Of course it's not sin. God has given you special permission. He has turned you over to a lying devil that lies to you and makes you believe that you're believing the truth. It's as big a sin today as it was yesterday. If it was ever sin, it's still sin. Some people have been divorced and remarried a dozen times, but they say, oh, it's in the will of God. God gave me permission to. Yeah, God gave him permission back in the days of Moses too, but when Jesus began to talk about it, he said from the beginning it wasn't so, but because of the hardness of your hearts, he permitted you to. And if God knows you're going to do a thing and you insist on doing a thing, you say, I'm going to do as I please. God said, go on and do it. And die like a fool. If you're here tonight in the sinner and a backslider and he's not calling your name, he may never call it again. You've already crossed the deadline. There's every possibility God's turned you over. There's some kind of a spirit that'll drag you on down, 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 down till you never come out. Not because God didn't set you free at one time, or not because God could not deliver you, but because you picked up a javelin like Saul and you wouldn't turn loose of it. You better turn loose of that package of cigarettes. You better get rid of that snuff. You better go home and break that fifth of liquor you got stashed away. You better go back, get some of the money out of the bank you've been stealing from God down through these years and put it in some of these pastors' hands. It don't belong to you. You're a thief and a robber. The javelin that most people have in their hand, brother. Greenback. Greenback. Some of you running your hands down in your pocket now to be sure it's still there. It's not even yours. Gonna die with a pocket full of money that belongs to a preacher. It's the truth, you know what preachers. You stand there Sunday morning and do the best you can to get the tithes and an offering enough to support you and your family and your pay your church bills and your budget. The very ones that ought to bring the most, the ones that sit there and never move. Or if they do bring something, put it in the basket in front of you. They hold it tight in their hand and run their hand clear to the bottom of the basket. Turn it loose under everything else so you won't see it. Just a plain old dollar bill. When it ought to be 20s. I've been preaching a long time. I know who I'm preaching to. You know I'm getting next to you tonight. God's calling your name. God's calling you, son. God may never call you again. This may be the last time Jesus comes through this city. If Samson hadn't come out when he did, he would have died as a fool dying. But a voice from heaven said, "Samson, I still remember you." It begins to stream from heaven again, that blessing. That blessing. That blessing that no one has. No one can bestow or pour out upon you but him who sits in the heavens. When he felt the power and the anointing of God coming upon him, he had only one desire. That was to win a victory. Make up for lost time. And that arena was filled with 3,000 uncircumcised Philistines that had laughed at him and mocked at him and had even drug him out of the prison now to make fun of him. And he breathed three words. Four. Lord, give me strength. Give me strength. Give me strength. And suddenly he felt it. And he began to tug on those huge pillars. Like lightning, they began to crack high up, and like the thunders roll, those huge pillars began to crack and fall because a man of God was making a comeback. And if he was going to die, he wasn't going to die like a fool in prison. He was going to die killing more Philistines dying than he ever killed while he was alive. Get your hand up and say, "Lord, it's not too late for me." Preacher, backslid preacher, get your hand up and tell the Lord it's not too late. You can still make a comeback. You can still preach, and God will still bless you. There's a rumble, a screaming of thousands. That great arena began to tumble. Down it came crashing. Like an earthquake, it shook it down. And after the dust is settled, we're walking among the dead. There lays a man with no eyes. His name is Samson. He died. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes. But we don't have to die in prison. We don't have to die like Saul died. We don't have to die like Judas died. We don't have to die like a Jezebel and Ahab, a Belshazzar. We don't have to spend the rest of our life in a psychopathic ward like Nebuchadnezzar. There's no need of going to hell alive like Korah and 400 of his followers. Died like. No need of dying like the people of days of Sodom and Gomorrah at the antediluvian age. If I'm going to die here before Jesus comes, I'm going to die with a fresh touch, a new anointing, a new victory. Oh, come on, backslid preacher. You're here tonight from all over this part of the country. I sense you here. I feel you here. Haven't they used you for a beast of burden long enough? Bow your heads. Sing something, Gene.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord,
mercy on me when I am calling. Calling Lord, when I am calling, when I'm calling Lord,
when I am calling,
have
while your heads are bowed, do what I tell you and follow these simple instructions. I want to pray what I call a prayer of deliverance. Don't want to die as a fool dies. You hear his call tonight. He's calling your name. You've had trouble enough. You've been shut up in prison too long. You've wasted already too many years of your life. Your feet are slipping. Your steps are almost gone. Gone. Gone forever. Get your hands in your lap. I'm going to give you a signal. I'm simply going to count to three. One, two, three, like that. When I start counting, it'll be through in 15 seconds. What you do in the next 15 seconds can determine where you spend eternity and how you get there. Whether you die like a fool, like Saul, or like Samson, with God's spirit and anointing and power and blessing upon you in your picture up yonder in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. When I say one, get your hand ready to raise. When I say two, get just a little more ready. But when I say three, that's your signal. It's your signal to get your hand up high if you're willing to come out of prison like Samson did. And like Jonah, say, Lord, I will pay what I promised. Get ready. You got a few seconds. God may never call your name again because he may never come by this way. This is your night. Pastors back here, I feel backslid preachers everywhere tonight. You do too. Preachers that have given up. Oh Lord, this is the Bible Belt. It's full of backslid preachers. Oh, have mercy. Will this prayer save you? It'll make the devil get off your back, and it'll make the devil open the prison door so you can come out and make a comeback. Get ready. If you want to be remembered in this prayer and willing to pray yourself, when I say three, get your hand up high so God can see it. I'm going to make the devil get off your back. Take the chains and the shackles off of you and open the prison door and let you out. Oh Lord. Here we go. 15 seconds. Here's the first one. Here it is. Oh, one. Here we go. Here's the next one. Here it is. Two. This is your signal. Get your hand ready, every backslider and every sinner. If you don't want to die like a fool, get your hand ready. Here it is now and ever, heaven or hell. Here it is. Three. Three. Get your hand up high. Raise it up there, let God see it. Don't be ashamed of it. You're doing the noblest thing you've ever done. You with your hands raised, jump to your feet and stand right where you are. I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing. No, I'm not waiting. I'm going to pray. God's in a hurry tonight. You'd better get in a hurry too. If you don't come out of that prison, God may shut the door and leave you in there forever. You've got to come out. You've got to come out. You devil, in the name of Jesus, I charge and I adjure you by Christ. withdraw every evil force and every demon spirit from this people. I claim every one of them, Christ in heaven, and God, you can't have them. I claim them for God tonight. Jesus, it's done. Wait a minute. Don't sit down. If you do, you may be lost forever. God may never give you another chance. Do one more thing. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. You that are standing, go to the nearest aisle. Come running down these aisles and stand here in front of me for 30 seconds. We're coming to Jesus. Come on. Come running down these aisles. Right here in front of me. Right here. Right here in front of me. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Right here in front of me. Oh, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Everyone that hears my voice, this music, this people, have mercy now, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name.